Hi, and welcome to another episode of Hustle Gently podcast. I'm your host, Lidia Markovic-Rosati, and I want to tell you that today's episode is very special. Because for the first time since I started this podcast, I have a guest, and a very special one at that. My today's guest is real, unfiltered, and with the uncanny ability to tell it as it is, without an ounce of bullshit or sugarcoating anything. You see, it takes a lot to impress me. After all, I'm a Libra with Virgo ascendant and a stellium in Scorpio. So, you know, but today's guest totally wowed me. She's one of my favorite people on the internet to follow for a number of reasons. She's bold, fierce, wholesome, and super funny. She oozes character, integrity, and deep, rich wisdom. I've followed her for a number of years, and I just absolutely love how tuned she is. Her message is relevant, and she weaves her spiritual teachings into what's happening now in our world in the most beautiful way. She addresses and takes into consideration the times we live in: global pandemic, political unrest and divisiveness, structural racism, as well as harmful trends in the wellness, the spiritual and self-help community, and constantly models an ethical and mindful approach. She epitomizes what, in my view, is a real thought leader. I also like that she does not fit into any box. She's definitely not your elevator pitch cookie cutter spiritual entrepreneur. She's a badass, she's coach, astrologer, meditation teacher, comedian, podcast host, and all-around wholesome queen. It helps that she's a triple Leo. So yes, I am over the moon that my guest today is a truly awesome and wonderful queen, Danielle Mercurio. Welcome, Danielle, and thank you for being here today. I have so many questions for you. So I told people who you are based on the years I've been following you and reading your beautiful content, and I also did some of your meditations. And would now ask you to introduce yourself. Thank you. Go ahead. Yes, let's go. Danielle, thank you so much for being here. It is my absolute pleasure to host you and for you to be the first ever guest on my Hustle Gently podcast. You really are the epitome of what, in my opinion and experience, is a new thought leader. So I have done the introduction and I let you introduce yourself and tell my audience, our audience, who you are, what you are about, and yes, just dazzle as you always do.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I love your words are so appreciated. And yes, I am Danielle Mercurio, and I love your podcast name, by the way, The Gentle Hustle. And that's even how I feel when I introduce myself. I think sometimes we get so rigid or so caught up in, who am I? What's my title? What's my thing? How do I say it in the right way? And for me, I like to just believe I'm Danielle Mercurio. I'm here. And part of what I do is I show up to help other people bring the awareness that they need to better show up for themselves. So that could be through astrology, meditation, personal development, coaching, whatever needs to come through, whatever I'm feeling intuitively I need to share is how I function and how I operate. And again, it's with the hope that people can start to awaken to their own self and kind of cut out the noise, cut out all the stories, cut out all the baggage so that you can feel more free and more in a space to express who you are as you are now.
Absolutely, I just love it. So basically rocking your authentic self and just hustling gently, really, in all ways, always. Yes. So can you tell us more about what brought you into the world of spiritual entrepreneurship? Was there anything that happened that was a turning point and you decided, or did someone inspire you, someone or something?
Yeah, so it's been a journey. You know, I grew up, by way of background, I grew up in a Catholic household, went to church every week, very much kind of in that Catholicism lineage, grew up in, you know, kind of upper middle class family. So there was just kind of, I was kind of in the society's timeline of, okay, well, you know, you go to church on Sunday, you go to school, you do well in your, you know, tests, you go to college, you get married, right? There was that timeline, that expectation of society and also of religion. And with both, I always, in the back of my mind, even at a very young age, I would question it. I would go to church and I would question, I would say, God, I feel you and I believe in you, but I don't think this is you. I would say that all the time, like, this isn't my God. But I didn't know what that meant, right? Because I had nothing to compare it to. And same thing when I'd be at school. I'd be like, okay, I see what's happening here and I'll do what people are telling me to, but this isn't my education. And I was always questioning in the back of my mind, yet because I didn't have anybody answering those questions, I just assumed that I was a little bit different, that what I was going through was just something that I needed to kind of get over and do my best to kind of blend in with everybody and make people happy. And so instead of trying to become a seeker and have these questions that I had answered, I became a people pleaser instead. I wanted to make sure that other people were happy. I wanted to make sure I was showing up in a way that made sense for them. I was always observing people and just trying to fit in. And I, you know, when you spend your life doing that, you lose sight of who, not only who you are, but your potential and who you're supposed to be. And so I very much lost sight of any of those ideas that you have when you're younger, or any kind of spark within you of maybe one day I'll do this, or when I grow up, I'll do that. All of that kind of went away, and it just kept building up over time. And it wasn't until I was out of college, and I was at that point out of college, I was confused. My future felt really depressing. I was so in a space of just trying to make myself fit in that I was always tired. I was always trying to escape my life. I was always caught up in some kind of addictive cycle, whether it be binge eating, drinking, men, shopping, drugs. It didn't matter. Like, you know, I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And so I would kind of wake up every morning, pray I would get through the day, and then at night I would escape. And that just kept happening over and over and over again until I was around 26, right before my Saturn return. Mm-hmm. We can talk more about Saturn return later.
Yes.
Yeah, so we will. So I was working a corporate job as an executive assistant. It was fine. But again, I was going through the motions. Addictions were getting a hold of me. And I found myself in a situation where I was sexually assaulted. And I, at the time, it was enough to trigger me that something needed to change, that I couldn't keep living my life this way, that I couldn't keep putting myself in vulnerable situations. I also at the time thought it was my fault. I didn't even think to blame the person who did it to me. And it just kind of showed how broken I was. And so it was a catalyst, though, for me to start to get help and take. I had been in and out of therapy, but I never took it seriously. I found a great therapist, took it seriously, went to group coaching, and I found meditation. And finding meditation was really the light bulb moment for me. It was an opportunity where I felt like I was able to come home to myself. I was able to silence my mind and all of those negative thoughts. I was able to feel my body and have compassion for it. And I was able to learn how to just kind of be okay with myself. I wasn't into this whole self-love positivity thing, because that was... I was like, no, like, please, I don't even like myself. How am I gonna tell myself I love myself every morning? That's just a waste of words. So I just started to learn how to like function and be okay and not reach for things that you know would help me escape. And the more I did that, combined with meditation, the more I started to learn how to befriend myself and be nice to myself. And you know, eventually, it just got stronger and stronger until it got to the point where when you befriend yourself enough, you start to listen to yourself with compassion. And when you start to listen to yourself with compassion, you start to bring in some curiosity. And that curiosity brought me to a space of, I have to help other people. I have to help other people that are feeling trapped. I have to help other people that are feeling weak because of their surroundings. I have to help other people that think the only way to live their life is by the way other people are telling them. And so it was by that that I started to open up into the idea of becoming a life coach. And then down the road, I started to weave in more spiritual tools. And I've been doing this full time now for 6 years. So.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely brilliant. And what would you say was one of the biggest breakthroughs that you had during this, you know, the 6 year period that you've been doing this? And also, what did you learn from it? And how have those lessons from that biggest breakthrough, maybe you've had more than one, but just pick one that is the most important for you and that was pivotal. And what did you learn and how did you use those lessons? And are they still relevant or has anything changed?
Right. So you mean lessons around the breakthroughs I had
Yes.
when I first started waking up?
Yes.
Yeah. So I'd say the biggest breakthrough that I had was, I don't owe anybody anything. And that was huge because, and I still have to remind myself of that because, again, we're so ingrained to need feedback, to need validation, to be told, yes, you're on the right track. And I realized that actually made things worse for me. The more I leaned on validation, the more I sought out approval, the less I was able to grow or expand or be successful. And so as soon as I started to apply that, as soon as I started to realize, wait, I don't have to get back to someone right away. I don't have to justify my actions. I don't have to prove myself to anybody. That was a big game changer for me. And it gave me space. And I didn't really understand what space was. People say like, oh, make space for yourself. I never understood what that meant. Because I'm like, make space for myself. That's when I would drink, right? I'm like, oh, I have some time. Why don't I reach, you know? So learning that the space that you create from saying no to things that don't serve you then becomes the vehicle to explore who you are. But you've got to have that compassion. So it's very layered, right? And so I think understanding that you are allowed to say no, understanding that you're allowed to give yourself space to explore what could be possible for you, and with that space, use it as like a vehicle or an opportunity to start to get to know yourself. You know, we have what's called a higher self, or it could be called your intuition. It's that part of you that feels like it has the answers. You know, it's that part of you when, you know, you're told to do something and then you don't do it. And you're like, oh, I should have listened. That part of you is so important. And that, for some reason, is the part of us that is most neglected. So I started to learn how to, you know, when I say befriend myself, it was befriend that part of myself,
yes.
That part of myself that felt like a deeper voice, felt like it was nice and encouraging. And the more that I stay in a good relationship with that voice, the more successful I am. And the more it gets me out of jams when I forget, because it's still gonna, you know, I still forget. I still forget that I have a choice. I still forget sometimes that I don't need validation. And the voice always kind of brings me back.
Yes, that is so important and so beautifully put, because oftentimes I find, and you know, I resonate with what you're saying a lot, because I've been through that path of like asking for validation and ignoring my intuition, ignoring that inner knowing and listening to people who are really just fog sellers, you know, just really dispensing bullshit that is so fluffy. And as you said, you know, this it's not just one thing, befriending yourself, practicing self-compassion, being kind and nice and gentle with yourself, allowing yourself to say no, to take time, not having to respond straight away when somebody wants or expects from you, is actually very layered. It's not what current personal development or self-help trend propagates. You know, just get up, look at yourself, put your lipstick on, and you're good to go, babe. That is, there is so much bullshit, and there is so much. It's, I think those women who are doing that are actually doing a massive disservice to young generations, you know, to Z generations, to millennials as well, because we know very well that that's not how it works. Personal development, evolution, growth is really layered, and just focusing on this, oh yeah, just think positive and stiff upper lip and everything is just going to be okay, or sign up for my, you know, 3 steps to to whatever, to being a goddess, it really is total bullshit, and it really insults intelligence. It really does. And no wonder, no wonder we have all these women, like, you know, a majority of women who I find amongst my friends and also clients and women who I meet here and there are very frustrated and very disappointed. So I think those women who propagate this instant, quick, shallow self-love are really doing a massive disservice. And they're also giving a bad rep to the actual self-help industry, you know, being, you know, I mean, we do a very noble calling. It's a, it is a calling. It's not a job. You're called to do this, but you're called to do it once you have dealt with your shit and are in the process of dealing with your shit. You cannot, you know, I just, I honestly, when I hear this, you can only start and do things once you are aligned and sorted. Well, good luck to you. It just, it doesn't work.
It's impossible.
It doesn't work. It's impossible. And the whole, let's just be positive and let's just be hardcore feminists and let's just smash the patriarchy and smash the ceilings. It is, you know, it really reeks of aggression. And there is very little of divine feminine, of a beautiful feminine energy. So I don't know. I'm just going to say something that maybe people not like, but I've stopped worrying about that long time ago. When, you know, when they say, oh, we should all be feminists and, you know, we need to be this, you know, we are good enough as we, not good enough, we can do it ourselves. I think this strong, hardcore, masculine feminism is actually killing femininity. It's killing the divine feminine.
It's toxic.
It's very toxic, and you know, it may, it, I get it, you know, the marketing world is awash with that, and you know, all the funnels and all the 5 steps to whatever is you know, is pushing that, and that I would like to think that that used to sell, but I believe that we are also waking up, we are becoming savvy, we are becoming more more compassionate, clever, careful consumers, you know, so so I don't think much of those things pass anymore. Still, there are names in the industry who are out there and who just basically, you know, who have made a name for themselves based on the wrong footing, and we used to adore them. You know, there are women and men, coaches and gurus and self-help people who have got gazillions of followers, and they're just regurgitating the same old, same old. And I think it really is a fluff. And that's why when I see you and I hear you, what you say and what you share, it really is a breath of fresh air. So I'd like to, I mean, this is how this whole, in my invite to you started, that, you know, I just resonate with what you said in one of your stories about how the likes and the numbers have actually taken over what is really important, soul and passion. So do share with us.
Of course, because, you know, I think it's a beautiful journey when you're able to awaken to your own self, and then, like me, like you, decide, okay, yes, I want to help other people, right? I know that this is my calling. I know that this is part of my service, my way to give back. And you're very excited about it. And I know, like, when I first started out, I was so excited. I got, you know, I was so organized, and I, you know, like figured out everything I needed to do, but it wasn't really picking up as fast as I liked. And I now realize, like, and what I tell people in the beginning, when you're starting any kind of business, you have to meet yourself where you're at, and you have to realize people are going to meet you where you're at too. So if you're just starting out and you're only getting feedback from a couple people, beautiful, that you're just starting out and they're just starting out with you. So it's going to be kind of matching each other's energy. And as you start to grow more confident, as you start to kind of gain more clarity around what you're doing, more people will follow. You know, people are always like, they think that they need this like magic potion then to take off, or they think like if you woke up tomorrow with 500,000 followers, what would you do with them? Like, you want them so bad because you think that's what you need, but would you even know what to do? Would they even be excited about what you currently offer? And so it's less about me. And again, that goes into, I need outside validation. I need to show my family that I'm going to be successful. I need to make sure my partner knows this isn't a joke. I need to, you know, make money to pay back the money I invested in getting trained in this. And we create all these need to's, and we get so fixated on trying to grow our business from an outer perspective that we lose sight of our why. So what it really comes down to when you're growing a business, and again, this is part of that gentle hustle, is to stay in your why. Whenever I get caught up in the numbers game or strategy, which I don't really anymore, it really starts to fade. But, you know, in the beginning, when you're just so excited and you're hungry and you see all these other people telling you, look, I did this, you can do it too, you buy into it. And it's hard not to. And it's not your fault if you have bought into it. But what you want to do going forward is to just trust your why. Why did you want, why did you get into this? Why do you want to do it? And, you know, for me, my why is, it's something that's bigger than me. Like, I can't help it. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, this is my world. This is what I show up for. This is how I serve. And I'm supported in the process. I'm very clear on my standards and my style of living. Like, I know, like, the universe and I, we're pretty on point with what I need to feel comfortable. And what I need to feel comfortable is a certain number. And I always get that number. So, you know, I think sometimes, again, we get caught up in the, I want to make this much. And it's like, do you even, like, what is your comfort level with your life? You know, instead of focusing on, I want to make $1 million, or I want to make $500,000, do you even need that, right? So, like, I like to look at it at the space of, how can you show up from a space of your why? That why of, I'm empowered to make other people aware of their potential. And from that why, I share. And I share, you know, with a lot of authenticity. I don't do ads. I don't really pay for posts. I don't do any of that. I just trust my organic following. And through my authenticity, through my why, I'm supported. And it can be that simple, but because of the way the world has designed success and making money and capitalism, it's hard for us to accept that. And I really encourage you, if you're starting out and you're frustrated and you're seeing those ads about become $1 million coach or use this method to have more followers, like, try to just like trust and just say, like, I'm better than this. Yes. I'm more than this. And I trust that the work that I do will attract exactly who I need. And, you know, I like, especially being a spiritual entrepreneur, I like to think back in the day, what did people do, right? What were individuals that were healers and, you know, therapists and whatnot? How did they get clients? You know, they weren't using Instagram. And so just trust this process, trust this lineage, trust the fact that if you do in fact believe you're a healer, there's a reason and there are people that need to be healed. So hold out for that as you share, and don't worry about how many people are in the room, how many likes you have, and just be happy that someone is there at all.
Yes.
That's, I could keep going, but yeah.
That's really, really beautiful. And I also believe that by doing that, by staying in your why, it is also one of the ways to actually build your self-confidence and character and integrity, because the more people get sidetracked and enter this collective hypnosis of, oh, I must earn a six figure or a seven figure or a multiple seven figure, the more they lose sight of the soul, or of, like, yeah, why am I here? Like, why am I doing this? And am I actually aligned with that, you know, with a seven figure? And then they become like a copy paste of somebody else. So there is, like, you know, unless they've got a Chanel bag with, like, you know, whatever, the cookie cutter type Instagram feed, then they haven't made it, you know. And it really is ridiculous. Since when has Chanel become a benchmark for success?
And spirituality
as well. I mean, nothing wrong, you know, nothing wrong with Chanel. Yeah. It's absolutely fantastic.
And I
fantastic.
Love shopping, right? Like,
me
shopping
too.
Can be a spiritual experience,
me
let
too.
Me tell you.
Me too. I love it. You know, I mean, I'm a Libra. I love that. I'm all about, you know, shopping and doing things and, you know, prettify yourself, but also first on the inside and also know why. Yes. And do I actually, is it Chanel that I need or is it Fendi or Prada or whatever? Just go, but choose for yourself. Just allowing ourselves to choose, rather than having somebody else's opinion be influenced by it. So thank you. This I love this very much. And and you said at the beginning that we'll talk about the Saturn return.
Oh, right.
And yes, so that's super okay. important. And I want to ask you, does this Saturn return, does it happen only once, or in a lifetime do we have more Saturn returns? And also, is Saturn return also connected to how we break away with our careers that we have done up to the Saturn return, or our relationships, or the places, the countries we've lived, and take on and go on a new journey? Is that connected, or am I just?
Nope, you're spot on. So Saturn return, let's look at it this way. So in astrology, let's go to the basics. Astrology is based on this notion, and I'm going off of Western astrology, that we have this zodiac wheel up in the sky, right? And the zodiac wheel has all 12 signs, starting with Aries, moves all the way around to Pisces. We want to imagine that zodiac wheel lives right underneath our solar system. And every day, the sun, the moon, and the planets all move around that zodiac wheel, kind of like a game board. So when you're born, the day that you enter the Earth, okay, for me, it was August 9th, 1983, to get my birth chart, we take a screenshot and we say, okay, on the zodiac wheel, on the day Danielle was born, where was the sun? Where was the moon? Where was Saturn? Okay, and we look to see where Saturn was. In my case, Saturn was in Libra, okay? So Saturn moves very slow. It takes Saturn anywhere from 26 to 29 years for it to move around the zodiac wheel. So what happens is when you're having your Saturn return, usually your first one, usually in your late 20s, Saturn's coming back for the very first time since you've been born. So that's kind of a big deal, because Saturn is the planet of our soul contracts. It's the planet that governs our family dynamics. It also deals with our karma. So I like to imagine that before you came down here, you signed a contract and you were like, okay, I'm going to do this earth thing. I heard all about it. I see what's going on. Oh yeah, the 2020, totally cool. Let's do this. I'm ready. Send me to earth. And so Saturn's like, all right, cool, but you got to sign the contract and you've got to say that you're going to fulfill these things and you're going to do these things and you're going to show up in these ways and you're going to release this stuff. And you're like, yeah. And you sign it and you descend down and you forget the contract, right? I like to believe the contract almost is dissolved when we exit the womb, and almost like that's why we're crying, because we forgot everything. We forgot the heavens. We forgot where we came from. So there's this sadness, almost this trauma when we're born. And then we're born and we live our life, and then, you know, in our late 20s, Saturn comes around again and it kind of knocks on your door energetically. And it's like, hey, what you been up to? Are you working the job that we talked about? Are you with the person that we talked about? Are you living in the city that we talked about? Are you doing the things energetically that we talked about, or aren't you? And in my case, I definitely wasn't. That was, you know, it was literally when I had the assault, it was 1 month before my Saturn return started. I didn't know that at the time, but that's when it was. And that was my moment, you know, and it took me a couple of weeks. It wasn't, you know, because it happened. And then I still was kind of all over the place a few weeks after. And then I was like, I got to get help. And I really believe it was that energy of Saturn, like knocking on my door, like, hey, Danielle, like, it's time for you to get on board with what you wanted to do here, which I can see more clearly now. And again, our soul contract, I know one thing I want us to realize, it's always evolving, right? It's not like you figure it out in your late 20s and poof, but the hope is that during your Saturn return is typically around 3 years, that you start to understand more clearly what you're here to do. You start to make shifts in your career. You start to think about your relationships. You start to wonder if you're living in the right place, your health, how are you taking care of your body? Lots of different things can come up. And in some ways it can seem challenging. So a lot of people fear it, right? And, you know, challenge is part of our human experience. Even when you get to that space of self-compassion and, you know, awakening, like we've been talking about, we're still going to have hardships. We're still going to have bad days. And the hope is that you'll be more aware and better equipped to be able to handle them and feel them as you need to, instead of, again, pushing them away. If I wake up and I'm not feeling good, I'm not going to push it away and just say, oh, Danielle, just love on yourself. It'll be fine. It's like, no, something needs to be felt.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's like a little side tangent. But yeah, so essentially the Saturn return during those 3 years, and you can Google Saturn return calculator to see when you had yours, or anyone that's listening. And the hope is that during those 3 years, you get more clarity through challenges, likely, of what you need to do. But with that, you also get boosters if you're on the right track. So for me, halfway through my Saturn return was when I was like, I want to start coaching people. And that's when I found a coaching program. I actually moved to New York City, where I got way more exposed to different teachers and, you know, practices that would help me. And so I think, you know, in addition to being presented with challenges that made me have to really change, I also was given some really great rewards as part of it too, because I was on the right track. And so Saturn will then leave, and then it will come back around, usually in your late 50s, early 60s, which we find is usually an interesting time for people also, right? They're getting ready for retirement. They may be going through empty nest. They may be at a point with their marriage or their relationship where they're not quite sure what's going on. So that can kind of present its own challenges as well. And then it will happen one more time, late 80s, early 90s, which, you know, by that point, you might be ready to close out, or, you know, kind of wrap things up in this life. I don't study the third one very much. And honestly, I don't get many people that want me to read their chart at that age. So I don't know a ton about it, but I am curious if that's kind of how we start to phase out. I'm not quite sure, but essentially that's the series of Saturn return. Anywhere in your life, you'll have it 2 to 3 times, and it can be challenging, but it also can be very empowering and really help you get back on track.
Yes. I mean, they did say that Saturn is a great teacher. And so rather than dissing it and ignoring it, I mean, you can't ignore a teacher. It's going to come sooner or later. So
it would have just kept knocking on my door.
Yeah.
If I didn't listen.
No shortcuts. I mean, I listen to and I watch your IGTVs that you do around the full moons and around important astrological trends. And every time I listen to them, they're totally on point, and I love them. Yet there is always something else behind it. So I always questioned, like, I've done some of your meditations, like full moon, new moon, some retrogrades, and it was never just a cookie cutter astrology. I mean, I've had my charts read, I've listened to and been exposed to many astrologers, and what you have is something that, of course, you've got the gift that, you know, you've learned astrology, but there is also something else. So it's not even, I mean, I just get goosebumps as I talk about it. It's not just, okay, this is how it is, and this is what's happening, and then you say it beautifully, you also use a lot of humor, you keep it very relevant and to the point, but also it feels as if you're talking to each person individually. I mean, my experience has been that, hey, you know, I feel as if she's talking to me here, and it feels like a channeled information, something. So is it,
yes,
is it something that you are, something that you do?
Yeah, you're on to me over here. So yes, astrology is the gateway. You know, if I were to be talking to someone behind the scenes, and we kind of are in this way, around what I do, I would say, I don't really, at the end of the day, call myself an astrologer. Astrology is the gateway, and it's the connection, and it's the framework for me to kind of start to dive in. When I look at what's happening cosmically, it then takes me to another world where I am able to channel and really rely on my intuition to share what's happening. So it does go beyond just being, you know, I love astrology, clearly, but some astrologers are kind of in the weather reporter phase, right? Where it's almost like they're reporting the weather.
Yeah.
Today the sun is here, today the moon is here, you can expect this, Mercury is in retrograde, and that's great, they're reporting the facts. For me, I refer to myself more so as like a cosmic channel,
yes,
where I'm really just tapping into the cosmic sphere and the cosmic collective. And by channeling the collective energy and drawing in the people that need to hear it the most, it does feel like what you're receiving is a unique experience. And that's something that I've been growing and maturing myself over the years. I don't know if I was, who knows, right? Maybe I was doing it all along, but I have more awareness around it now, in my maturity of what it is that I do. But yes, so astrology is the gateway with me. It's what gets you in the door. And then once you're in my world, then I'm going to really kind of bring in more channeled intuitive guidance.
Yeah, because it actually, thank you. Thank you for clarifying that, because it really does feel like that. And not, again, you know, I'm talking about your IGTV that you so beautifully
sure
put and share, and your Instagram stories, but also your texts, your content, what you write, how relevant it is to whatever is going on. And it doesn't need to be some major cosmic drama or event. It just sometimes you write something and you know, I read it and I'm like, actually, is it possible that she writes about something that, you know, that I kind of, you know, I think and then I forget. It just, you know, it kind of, you entertain it for a couple of seconds and then you just roll it out. And it just, and it's very, very beautiful. So definitely cosmic. And when you mentioned cosmic and I mentioned cosmic, and I know you've got something that's cosmic coming up. So can you tell us more about it?
Yes, please. Of course. Because again, like, I love astrology, but I always was like, I have my own cosmic version, right? And this is, you know, again, everything I share, if you're listening as a spiritual entrepreneur, you're growing your business, like, please remember, you're always going to be growing your business and you're always going to be evolving and you're always going to be waking up more into your gifts and your role and your calling, right? It's going to always be calling out to you. And, you know, the cosmos, the cosmic sphere, the cosmic energy has always been calling out to me. And I've been sharing a lot publicly, and I love doing that. And I love being able to speak on behalf of the collective. However, I've been feeling lately with just some of the things we were talking about earlier on social media and the way it's getting very congested. And I don't want to say that in a way that it's too saturated, because it's not that it's too saturated, but there's just a lot of noise.
Yes.
And I really wanted to create a separate container for my messages to come through. And so starting April 1st, I'm launching the Cosmic Channel. And the Cosmic Channel is a membership style platform that offers weekly intuitive guidance around what is happening. In addition, it includes meditations, mudras. Basically, every week when you connect in, you're going to find me connecting with what is going on in the world, and kind of meditations, mudras, and different tools that you can use to best meet the energy where it's at, to best kind of coincide with the cosmos, if you will. It also includes live experiences with me. So again, I can go a little bit deeper. The reason why I love Instagram Live, but I hesitate a lot, because sometimes I just don't know who's in there, what's going on, and it's almost like I need to protect myself. Again, I'm not worried per se, but it just doesn't feel solid. And I don't really want to walk into something where it feels a little unstable. And so I wanted to create the opportunity to do lives with me, but again, offline of like Instagram, let's say. So it includes the weekly channeled information and guidance. And then in addition, it includes opportunities for us to gather together where you can ask me questions. I can share more what's going on. I can do more personalized individual readings. And I'm excited about it. We already have a great group coming in. And I'm just excited to grow it and see where it goes. Because, again, this notion of the cosmic channel really speaks to me. And I gotta roll with it.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when the voice calls, you answer.
You have to, or it'll keep he'll keep calling.
Yes, yes, yes.
He'll say, stop putting me on voicemail. I'm
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not ignoring you.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I've got like
scrolling.
Yeah. I'm busy scrolling and listening. There is some white noise that I need to attend to.
Oh my gosh, yes. White noise, exactly. Yes.
That's so beautiful. And so you said that it launches on April 1st.
Mm-hmm. And no joke.
Yes, it's no joke. Fantastic. And it is available to... It is available globally, right? The live ones will be recorded, or how would that work? Mm-hmm. Bearing in mind different time zones.
Yeah, so I'm going to, my hope is as it grows to get a better understanding of the different time zones and be able to do the lives at different times to meet more people where they're at. In the beginning, it is going to be more, East Coast tends to be my most popular time zone, so it'll likely be in the beginning, more evenings, but replays will be available. But basically, what will happen starting on April 1st tomorrow, or April 1st, whenever you're listening to this, eventually you will get in the membership portal, there will be an uploaded video that will have monthly guidance for you. So on the first of every month, monthly guidance will come through, as well as channeled horoscopes for every sign of the zodiac that you can apply to your sun and moon sign. Mm-hmm. And then once you get that, you can listen to it at any time. And then the weekly guidance that comes through will also be pre-recorded and uploaded. You'll get it every Monday, so you can use it for the week. And then the lives, again, I'm going to kind of just play and scatter them around at different times until we figure out kind of what the best fit is. And the more people that join, the more I'm going to be able to do lives, right? And the goal is to kind of keep this membership going so that I can spend more time in that container and just continue to grow it.
Oh, that's beautiful. And will people be able to join each month, or is it like an annual membership?
Yes.
Annual membership or monthly?
Yeah, so, right. So if anyone joins now within the first month, they're getting grandmothered in at like a special rate. And I do require a 3-month membership, and then you can cancel at any time if you choose to. So you can buy it either, you can either do a monthly membership or you can do it 3 months at a time.
Oh, beautiful. And this is only going to be an online membership, no live events or anything of the sort.
As of now, but live is my favorite thing to do. Retreats, I love it. I've just been taking my time with it as the world takes its time to kind of understand what in-person looks like again. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm being responsible, and I don't want to do anything that would cause any harm in any way.
Of
right. And that's so important to me. So, and I also just want to, you know, protect myself too, right? Make sure that I'm not doing anything out of integrity. So the hope is that we will be going live again. And with the Cosmic Channel members, not only do they get first access to me with one-on-one readings, but they also will have first access to any live events that I offer as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for clarifying that. That's amazing.
Yes. Thanks for your questions about it.
Yes. Yeah. You're very welcome. Thank you. That sounds absolutely amazing. And I believe much needed in this day and age. And that's going to be a massive cosmic treat, I believe.
Yes.
And so is there anything else you want to share with us? Or can I ask you one final question?
Ask me the question, and then I'll see if there's anything else.
Well, my question is somewhat funny, but it also tells a lot about, to me at least, about, you know, who the person is and where they stand for. And that is, if you were a fairy tale character, who would you be?
Little Mermaid.
Oh, I love it.
Little Mermaid.
Super cute.
Happening.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. So now you can just say whatever it is that you want to say. And also, if you want to tell the audience, where can they find you? How can they find you? And what's the best way to work with you? Like when it comes to astrology or coaching or meditation or anything that you may want to say.
Sure. Yes. So you can find all the things under my name, basically Danielle Mercurio. You can go to danielmercurio.com, Instagram, Danielle Mercurio. And once you go to my webpage, I actually just redid it this past month. So it just got a makeover, very clean, very organized. So you should be able to go on there and figure out whatever it is that you may want for me or from me or whatever might be a good fit for us, the Cosmic Channel is on there as well. And what I'd love to kind of leave you with is this, you know, kind of message or note for the times that we're in right now. Like, please understand, please listen or to this understanding that we need you now more than ever, whether you are in a fully developed spiritual business yourself, whether you are not interested in that at all, whatever it may be, please understand that people need our help and healing now more than ever. And it's only going to continue to grow. So if there's a part of you that is feeling like, I want to help, but I'm scared. I want to help, but I don't know how. I want to help, but everybody else is doing it. Those are all lies. Those are all facades. They do not have anything to do with you. They do not serve you or serve the collective at all. And so please, I'm telling you this now. If there's any part of you that has been wanting to start something or has started something and put it on hiatus or has started something and has been going back and forth, let's leave all that behind and let's just be in the energy of, I have something that can help people, and let it be that simple. Let it see how it blossoms. You know, here we're moving into spring. And so these little seeds, these little notions of I could help, I could be of service, people need me, they're real, they're legit. So how are you going to allow it to unfold or blossom and not get caught up in the games, not get caught up in these like strategies that are being thrown at you online, but instead, like from a clean, authentic place, just explore how you want to help. Let it be simple and practice. Trust in what it is that you're doing. And again, whether you want to make this a full-blown business or something you do on the side or just being nice to the barista at the coffee house, it doesn't matter. But the more that you can bring a smile to your face and offer the ways that you can help, the more it will be benefited to the entire world. So like, please know that, and just know that I'm encouraging you, I'm cheering you on, and I'm so grateful that you're here, that you're listening, and that you have something to offer as well.
Oh my God, that is so beautiful, Danielle. You really are a total gem. You really are. You need to clone yourself. This is so beautiful. Thank you so much for this, and thank you. And you have no idea how over the Libra moon I am.
Yes.
You know, for you being my first guest. Thank you so much, and I'll make sure to put all the links for your website and for the Cosmic Portal in the show notes, and also tell people where to find you. Thank you ever so much. This has been an absolute honor. Thank you.